that this morning you will take us by the hand and take us to that place that you have appointed for us in you, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I come against every spirit that is not of you in this building this morning. I come against every spirit that is not of the Holy Spirit. I come against witchcraft. I come against voodoo. I come against water spirits. I come against serpent spirits. We command them to be bound in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We decree that no spirit will be able to operate in this place other than the Holy Spirit of God. We bind you with the chains of fire. And we ask that God will fill all in all. And he will have his way without any rival. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles with me, if you will, please, to one of the stories that you and I know very well. It's the story of the man that Jesus raised from the dead. It's in the book of John, the 11th chapter, in the 38th verse, all the way down to the 44th verse. John 11, 38 through 44. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto the Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word this morning in Jesus' name. The title of my message this morning is Moving. Moving from partial victory to complete victory. Going by the title of that message, there is an important assumption made, and that is this. It is one thing to have victory. It is another thing to have complete victory. It is one thing to be free. It is another thing to be free indeed. And our text brings this truth out very vividly. When Lazarus came out of the grave, the Bible tells us that grave clothes was still on him. And according to the custom of the Jews, his head and his face were covered with grave clothes. See, they didn't bother with caskets. They just wrapped the man up, wrapped his head up, wrapped his face up, wrapped his body up, wrapped his legs and his hands, and put him in the grave. Exact same thing they did for Jesus. Then when the Lord came, he called him out and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came out of the grave. There is a lot of debate among theologians as to whether both legs were tied together or they were tied separately. So we are not very sure whether he walked or he hopped. But whatever he did, he came out. All right? Whether hopping or walking, you are coming out. Did you hear what I said? I don't care how they tied you before they threw you in. When God brings you out, regardless of how they threw you in, you're coming out hopping or walking or jumping or running. The most important thing is to come out. And I believe God is going to do some deliverance here this morning. All right? This man came out of the grave hopping or running or walking. But there was a problem. Even though he was free, he was still bound. The grave clothes was still on him. So Jesus looked at Mary, Jesus looked at Martha, Jesus looked at friends and acquaintances and onlookers. He said, he's out now, but I got a job for you to do. Loose him, unwrap him, take away what you put on him when he was dead and let him go. I just believe in my heart that there is deliverance in this building this morning. I really do. No matter what you brought in as grave clothes, you are not taking them back in the name of Jesus. This is the one spiritual lesson that I want us to learn from this passage. And it's simply this. Newly quickened souls may still be spiritually bound. I will make it plain. Newly quickened souls may still be spiritually bound. There is one lesson that I see here every time I read this passage. It's one thing for Jesus to set you free. It's another thing to be free indeed. This man was free. Death had no power or control over his life. But he could not say that he was free indeed. If you are born again this morning, I congratulate you. Because you know what you did? You heard his voice. Like Lazarus did. You are dead in trespasses. And dead in sins. And one day, I don't know when yours was. I know when mine was. He called us out. He yelled, Mary, and you responded. He yelled, Mona Lisa, and you responded. He called you by your name, and you say, I'm coming out of sin. I'm coming out of iniquity. I'm coming out of unrighteousness. And you know what he did? He quickened you. The things you used to do, you couldn't do them no more. All things passed away. All things became new. You are dead, but now you came alive. You now have been resurrected. But I wish that were the end of the story. The story does not end there. Don't forget, Lazarus, when he came forth, he was already resurrected. He already had a new life. He was already delivered by the word of God and the power of God. Death had no more hold or no more power over him. But he still had a problem. And it is the problem that the majority of Christians have today. You know what it is? Grave clothes. Grave clothes. Everybody say grave clothes. Lazarus experienced liberty. But he did not experience freedom. Captivity was over, but he was still bound. The grip of death upon his life was broken, but he was still bound. You see, the truth of the matter is, after you have been resurrected to eternal life in Christ, after you have been called by name and you have come forth by the power of God, and you have seen the light of the gospel, there is still more work to do. The grave clothes. The grave clothes. You see, many people today have things in their past and things in their lives that are still holding them back. Things that are limiting their ability to move. Things that are limiting their ability to walk for God. Things that are limiting them in having a vision for the work of God and for the will of God for their lives. I was thinking about grave clothes all week long, and I came to the conclusion that nobody puts grave clothes on you unless you die. So grave clothes are connected to death, all right? Grave clothes attest to the fact that a person has died. After resurrection, grave clothes, listen to what Bishop is saying this morning. After resurrection, grave clothes do not automatically fall off. It only happened with Jesus. But with every single one of us, after we are resurrected in Jesus, the grave clothes we had on us when we died, it's not automatically removed. They had and they have to be unwrapped, to be unwrapped, to be unwrapped. You know what? There were things that stuck to you while you were dead in sins and trespasses. There were things that were in your life. And the longer they were there, the tighter they became on you. They become what the Bible calls yokes of bondage. They become what the Bible calls strong holds. And they don't automatically fall off after we are born again. They have to be loosed and to be unwrapped from our lives. Have you ever heard about the insurgents in Iraq? President Bush announced many months ago that the war was over. And then the insurgents said, watch out now. Take those words back. And for those many months, over 2,800 soldiers have died because of pockets of resistance, making it difficult to declare complete victory. I'm preaching to you this morning what I will rather call a balanced gospel. And I will be the first to tell you, after you are saved, look again. And I think the problem we have in the body of Christ today is we don't take a second look at ourselves. We jump out of the grave and we say we are free. I'm free indeed. I am complete in Christ. Oh, you may not see yourself, but we see you. And you know what we see in you? We see in you a woman that has been liberated. We see in you a man that has been set free. But we see more than that. We see things that are connected to the death in sin and trespasses. You need to be loosed. The insurgents said, no, the war you think is over. We're going to resist you till we die. And you know, if you look at your life very, very well, there are things that are challenging your testimonies. There are things that stand before you and say, you claim to be saved. You claim to be resurrected. We've been around you for so long. We've been with you for so long. We will destroy your testimony. We will destroy your joy. We'll destroy what you say you have. Those are the grave clothes, people. Take a good look at your life this morning. Are there baggages from the old life that you are still carrying around? Are there wrappings from your death period that are still hanging around you, hindering your spiritual progress and your spiritual walk? For some, it may be their temperament, grave clothes. For others, it may be a habit, grave clothes. For others, it may be an indulgence. Something they indulge in so well while they were dead in sins and trespasses, and now that they are saved, these indulgences are still wrapped around them. For others, it may be an addiction. I've seen others with self-protection mechanism that they developed over the years before they got saved. No matter what it is, they all fall under the category of grave clothes. Sometimes they are scars. Scars from child abuse, scars from spouse abuse, even scars from church abuse. They become hurts. They become wounds. Wounds and hurts from friends, from parents, from spouses. Many times they have even led to what we call roots of bitterness. Saved. Resurrected. But people look at you and they say, we see grave clothes. They are there, believe it or not, and people can see them even better than you can see them. Grave clothes. You know what they do? They send mixed signals. They send mixed messages to people. They look at us and they say, wait a minute, he is alive, but he's scary. He is alive, but he scares me. If you're close to me, there are people that I describe as so-and-so is scary. All right. There are people that I say, I know she's saved, I know she loves the Lord, but she's crazy. Something is wrong somewhere in her life. Someone was telling me about a believer the other day and said, what about so-and-so? What about so-and-so? I said, you know what? I know so-and-so. She is born again. She loves Jesus. She is saved. But something is wrong somewhere. Those are the grave clothes. I used to have a man in my church many years ago. I feel like mentioning his name, but it would do no good. The reason I feel like mentioning his name is because of what people said about him. Because his name, his last name sounds like crazy. So instead of people calling him by his last name, they call him Crazy. Brother Crazy. And he was one of the most devoted brothers I've ever met. He will come to church, be the first to get to church, sweep the floor, and take care of everything, and just wonderful man of God. If anyone will make my wife angry, then you know that person is really crazy. One day my wife got tired and she looked at me and said, you know what? I'm going to go to his house and sit him down and give him a piece of my mind. The way this man is, it's not the way a Christian is supposed to be. I looked at myself, there's no hope for this man. There's no hope for this man. If this man will get my wife to this point, as quiet and as easygoing as she is. And you know this brother, saved. As saved can be. Incredible testimony. He can give out his eyes to the work of God. But he was a man that had a problem. You know what the problem was? He was full of himself. Never met a man like that in my life. This man, if he ever stands to talk to you for 5 minutes, he will hijack the conversation and it will be all about him. What he has achieved. Who he is. And so what people do, I remember one time, his son was sick. And one of the poor sisters in the church wrote a check and gave me the check to give him to defray some of the hospital bill. I gave the check to this brother. He looked at it and he cried. And I said, oh no, he's touched by the kindness of this sister. He's touched by the generosity of the people of God. After he got off his crying mode, he looked at me. He said, me. So I am the one now who has gone down to the point of people having to give me money. Who does she think that I am? He said, Pastor, take the check and give it back to her. I looked up, I said, grave clothes, this is scary. And so he came to me after a while. He said, Bishop, I wasn't Bishop then. He said, Pastor, I need help. And I said, what? He said, why is it that people avoid me? He said, I don't understand. You remember that? He said, why is it that people avoid me? And I looked at him. Because I don't know what I will say. That I will be in trouble because I avoid him too. He said, well, how come people avoid me? And you know what? He is so full of himself. He gave the answer. He did not even allow me to give the answer. He said, you know what? I know why. I said, why? He said, it must be the strong anointing upon my life. I said, yay. I said, anointing does not repel. Anointing attracts. But he didn't get it. He was the one I told you came to me and said, Bishop, you know, I've been saved now for several years. I've not been baptized. I just don't see anyone qualified to baptize me. Do you know what that means? That means even me, his pastor, is not qualified to baptize. So what do I say? So he looked at himself and said, is it allowed for you to baptize yourself? Then in my mind, I wondered how he would do it. Jump into the swimming pool in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Ghost. You can see now why everybody calls him crazy. But do you know what? This man is a child of God, born again, saved. If you hear his testimony, you will be amazed and knowing where God brought him from. You know what his problem was? Grave clothes. He has stepped out of the grave, but he still has to be unwrapped because of things that have been in his life long, long before he got saved. Listen, people. These grave clothes are seen by people. And you know what it turns out to be? It makes them doubt your salvation. Seriously. Makes people look at you and say, how can she say she's saved? How can he say he's saved and still be like this? And you know yourself. You know you love the Lord. You know you care about God. Your only problem is you ran away from the grave before the grave clothes were removed from your life. And many times when you come to yourself, you always cry out, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of sin? Friends, I've not come to preach a salvation message to you this morning. I want to take it a step higher than that. There is a place in God where grave clothes can be unwrapped from your life and from my life. And these things, we don't have to struggle with them when we can actually be delivered from their control. You know what I'm looking for in this church? Look at all of you this morning. Have you ever seen people how fresh they look on Sunday morning? You come into the church, you look so nice. You look so pretty. You look so good looking. You know, the way we look fresh in the physical on Sunday morning is the way God wants us to look in the spiritual 24 hours of the day. All right? Have you ever seen yourself when you wake up after sleeping only for 3 hours, before the makeup goes on, before the hair is combed, before the teeth are brushed? Jesus. Have you noticed how you look and how you smell? I went to Africa one time and I wanted to pay a surprise visit to somebody. And I told the brother that took me, I said, let's go pay a surprise visit to sister so-and-so. She never knew we were coming. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. We weren't going to her house. We just called for her to meet us downstairs. When she came downstairs, I couldn't recognize her. I tell you the truth, I looked at her and said, is this so-and-so? Yeah, that's so-and-so. Before being freshened up. My desire for us in this church, that as our name is, so will our lives be. Our names begin with fresh. And I want us everywhere we go to be people who are spiritually fresh. But if you don't get the grave clothes out, listen, even though your stinking body has now gotten life, the grave clothes on you will still stink. And that's why you look at believers today and you look at their attitude. Have you ever seen someone who can preach, but his life stinks? Have you ever seen people who can sing, but their life stinks? Have you ever seen people who can prophesy, and then they are public success, but private failures? And you look at them and say, I want to be like so and so, until you see the stinking grave clothes. I had a good friend of mine several years ago. He told me a story that makes me laugh every time I remember it. He went to his pastor, very experienced pastor. He said, Pastor, I want to take out my eyes. Pastor said, you do? He said, yeah. He said, why would you do a thing like that? He said, because I lost. He said, I lost too much. He said, I will sit in church and people will be singing praise and worship. I'll be lusting after them. Lusting after their legs. Lusting after their bust. Lusting after this and lusting after that. I'll be singing there, I'll be standing there singing, but I am on fire. He said, I struggle against it. I don't like it. The Spirit of God convicts me of it. And I don't believe this should go with the child of God. And I feel if I yank out my eyes, at least I won't have to see anything anymore. The pastor was a smart guy. He said, which hospital would you like to go? He said, I really recommend two hospitals. There is one in such and such a place. And there's another one in such and, in fact, when you get there, ask for Dr. So-and-so. He's one of the best surgeons. And when the surgery is supposed to take place, come so I can pray for you so it will be successful. And he said, you mean you support me? He said, what will I do? Whatsoever a man desires, that's what God gives him. And that's what I give you too. Well, 1 month passed, 2 months passed, 3 months passed. And the pastor still saw him and said, you didn't go for the surgery yet? He said, Pastor, I can't do that to myself. He said, sit down here. What you need is a second touch. He said, you know, you don't run around committing fornication. No, you don't run around looking for women to sleep with. That was before you got saved. God took care of that. But this problem of lust that you have, that's your own grave clothes. Let God unwrap you. Let God unwrap you. So you can be clean in and you can be clean out. Have you ever looked at your life and see things that stink even in your own nostrils? I'm talking about those of us who are sincere. Some people are not sincere. But if you are really sincere about God, you look at yourself, I'm a child of God. Why am I like this? Those are the grave clothes. And those are the things God has led your footsteps into this building this morning. So that when you go out of this place, you'll be smelling fresh with the aroma from heaven, with the blood of Jesus cleansing you from all unrighteousness, making you free and free indeed. Loose him and let him go. What I spoke of are things that are tangible. I can break it down more than that, but I just don't have the luxury of time to do that. But you know yourself, and I know myself. You know the things that you struggle with. The presumptuous and secret sins. The habits that have you bound. The things that if everybody knows about it, you will be embarrassed. And then you do it and you say, God, this is not right. And then you say, God, I promise you this will be the last time I will ever do this. Well, you see now, there's no way you can free yourself from grave clothes. All right? New Year resolutions don't do it. All right? Tying a rubber band to yourself and pulling the rubber band to hit yourself, like psychologists say, will not do it. You've got to get help outside of you to unwrap. You don't even know where it begins, the wrappings. You don't know where it ends, the wrappings. And it's got to be done by the power of the living God. Many of you have heard me tell this story so many times. I used to be a man with a very, very violent temper. Look, when I say violent, I mean violent. You talk about hurricane and tornado, all wrapped in one, Katrina. That should have been my name. I was bad. My father looked at me one day and he said, I don't know what you're going to turn out to be with this temper. I remember one time my brother got in trouble with me. I just took a bottle, broke a bottle. Did you know when you break a bottle, it makes letter V? And I said, I'll deal with you. And everybody feared me, but it was eating me up. But guess what? I got saved. I stopped breaking bottles. But you know what I found out? I found out I had a yoke of bondage. I found out that I had a strong hold in my life. I hope I'm talking to you this morning. And you know the story I always told. It was fresh fish that brought out who I was. You see, in my hometown, they have a market where you buy fresh fish. And working in the bank, I could afford it. And I would go to this fresh market place and buy fresh fish and cook it as just to have a good meal. And it wasn't some fish like salmon. It was a useless fish. But nobody, you don't just buy without having money. I was living in a family house. And in a family house, everything goes. And I remember cooking this meal as a bachelor on a Saturday, hoping to come back home on Monday and have a good meal. But my cousin, my cousin that I've tried to bring to Jesus for so many times. My cousin felt that she had the right to possess my possession. After all, the man is saved. Freely you have received. Freely give. She did not realize it had nothing to do with my fish. Ladies and gentlemen, I came back home on Monday salivating to sit down and eat my fish stew with the hard Kilimanjaro thing we eat in Africa. I'm not going to go into that. Guess what? I opened the pot. And the pot said, open me again. You know what I mean? Ha. Open the pot. My pot said, open it again. Guess what? It was all gone. They did not even have the decency to wash the pot. So the old man. See, God, if you think you've got it all made, God will bring a test into your life. How many of you have caught yourself doing things that you thought, what? I did that? What? I said that? What? Me? It was fish God used for me. All the things I said, I can't repeat it in church. I cannot repeat it in church. No. Please don't make me repeat it. And there was my brother in his room listening. And he just shook his head. After it was all over, the only thing I didn't do is fall down and die. He called me, said, young man, said, is the rage over now? I said, yes. He said, we are not saved. All right? We don't know Jesus. But we know the demands of the Jesus that you go to every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Friday. And he looked at me and said, how much is fish? How much is fish? That you lost your temper the way you did. He said, changes have taken place in your life. I said, but you still have a problem. He said, that thing that breaks bottles is still there. I walked away convicted. Has an unbeliever ever convicted you?
Oh, that's the worst.
Yes, it's the worst kind of conviction. All right. What? You call yourself a Christian. Now, there are times they say that it doesn't mean anything. But there are times they say that you know it is true. You call yourself a Christian. You know what causes that? Grave clothes. I can go on. You see, what I've talked about are the tangible grave clothes. What about the grave clothes that are purely spiritual in nature? So, Bishop, what do you? Many of us are carrying that. You know what I mean? You had a boyfriend while you are dead in sins and trespasses. And this boyfriend is deep, deep into Obeah, witchcraft, voodoo. But you didn't. You gave him your body. Big mistake. See, this is how grave clothes come on us. And then we come out, we are saved. And we still see we are struggling with some things. You gave him your body. And before he came to you, he met the witch doctor who said, you want to be wealthy? Bring this from your girlfriend. We'll make you rich. He finished with you. And he took out his handkerchief. And he used his handkerchief to clean you up. And you looked at him. You say, so and so, why you do that? Why you do that? And he looks at you, he says, Lord, I'm crazy about you. I did that to prove to you, if I can use my handkerchief to do this, it's the depth and the height of my love. And you not knowing anything, dead in sins and trespasses, just
I've never met a man like you. I'm going to die for you. Until the Mississippi runs into the Atlantic.
You didn't know that that man was an agent of the devil. Sent into your life to do something to you that you will wrestle with for the rest of your life. Until God, in his mercy, comes and sets you free. Takes it to the witch doctor. They put it on an evil altar. And they say all the wealth, all the future, all the prosperity, all the destiny that this woman will have is transferred to you. And from that point on, you find out you just struggle in life. You struggle. It's like you are walking against a brick. Everything is so hard. Everything is so difficult. Then you got saved. And things became a little bit better for you. And you say, wow. Fasting upon fasting. Praying upon praying. You know what your problem is? You've come out of the grave. But that man, that wicked man, put some grave clothes on you. And that's why Jesus said before he goes, he's not going to be able to function with what he's got on. See, many of us have things on that will never let us function to the fullest of our capacity. Haven't you looked at yourself in the mirror and say, I can do better than this? I know myself. I know my worth. I know my ability. What is holding me back? Grave clothes. Grave clothes. Another boyfriend and girlfriend. They love each other so much. And the man looks at you and says, let's make a covenant. I say, which covenant? I say, blood covenant. I say, why blood covenant? Just to make sure we are committed to one another. And you say, well, like we say in Africa, how for do? If you want to do covenant, I'll do covenant. And then he takes out a razor. Say, give me your hand. And he takes his own hand too. Say, rub it in. Then you rub blood in blood. The worst covenant you can ever make with anyone is blood covenant. And as you make the covenant, he says, say after me. And you, in your sin, in your iniquity, you also say it after him. I, Miss Bucket Mouth. I will never leave Mr. Snubgrass. Leave Mr. Snubgrass. As long as I live. If I ever leave him, I will never find anyone to marry me. I'll never find anyone to marry me. But what he didn't do, he didn't say his own part. And you say, what about your own part? We'll do it another time. We can't do two at a time. It's one at a time. And you've been gullible. You've been, you know, they say love is blind. You agree to it. Then guess what happened now? You got saved. And when you got saved, you said, no, I can't marry an unbeliever. This man is on drugs. This man is a drug dealer. This man is this. I can't marry him. And you are right. Because what fellowship does light have with darkness? Come ye out of among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You are right. But what you don't realize is, what are you going to do about the covenant? What the covenant has done, it has put grave clothes around. And here you are, 44, pretty, educated. Men should be lining up in front of you, but nobody comes. Grave clothes. My prayer for you is every covenant you entered into, in the times of your ignorance, God will break them this morning. These things are serious. Grave clothes goes beyond being hooked to the internet or being hooked to pornography or being hooked to masturbation or being hooked to any one of those things. Yes, those are grave clothes, but are some that are spiritual in nature. We were in our church in Lagos when we started the church about 5 years ago. We called a meeting together. It was a big gathering, and I was conducting our very first deliverance service. One of the young girls in the choir, the power of God hit her, and she fell on the ground and began to go, The father was seriously embarrassed. And I said, why are you being embarrassed? God is setting her free. But then after it was all over, I called her and said, what happened to you? She said, it was my girlfriend when I was in high school in the boarding house. Say, my girlfriend, we were not saved, we were just friends, and we were so friendly. We were not into sin or anything, but we were so friendly, we didn't want anything to break us. So my girlfriend said, why don't you, let's make a covenant? And I said, which covenant? There's something we call in Africa Bonvita. It's a beverage. He said, this girl made the beverage and put the beverage in her mouth. And he said, with this, we'll make a covenant together that nothing shall separate us And she said, Pastor, she brought her mouth to my mouth. Why are you closing your mouth? Look at this brother here. I got close to him and I said, he put his mouth in his mouth and he went like this. Let the church say amen. She put her mouth in my mouth and said, open now, and spill some of the beverage in my mouth. And he said, send it back. And I sent it back to her. And he said, send it back. And I sent it back to her. He said, we mixed it back and forth with the saliva. And then he said, swallow. I swallowed. And she swallowed. You know what I did? They became soul ties. I'm going to preach a sermon here one of these days on soul ties and the effect they have in your life. What happened was everything in that girl was transferred to her. She became loaded. Saved! But she had grave clothes on. That's why Jesus Christ said, born again, but loose him and let him go. I'm about to close. But I can't close without telling you something that happened in our church about 20-something years ago. Every time I remember this, it just scares me. There was a girl that was sent to the church to destroy our pastor. She came to church, and I was next to the pastor back in those days in that locality. And she would come to church, very nice girl, always in Bible study, always there, always in church. But she would be shooting arrows at the pastor. She was shooting arrows. She was sent by some people in town to destroy the church. And when you smite the shepherd, what happens? The sheep and the flock were scattered. But she did not succeed. And so one day she got saved. She got saved. And you know what? Not only did she get saved, her life totally, totally turned around. And she grabbed the microphone and gave a testimony. She said, I came here on a mission. But the mission of Jesus turned me around. And now my mission has become mission impossible. She got saved. She got to be one of us. And we went in and out. And everything was fine. Until she disclosed to us a secret that we did not know how to handle. See, while she was dead in sins and trespasses and working for Satan, she made a covenant that December 31st of that year, she will die and go back to the devil that sent her on an errand. And we just laughed at it. We said, you're born again now. You don't need no prayers. You don't need nothing to be broken. You don't need nothing to be removed. We forgot that after a person comes out of the grave, she needs to be loosed from the grave clothes. Raise your right hand right now. Say, oh Lord. Say, loose me right now from every grave cloth that is on my life. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray that prayer for a second or two in the name of Jesus. Father, touch me right now and loose me from every grave cloth that may be upon my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm almost done. Almost done. She said, they told me I would die December 30th. I said, don't worry about it. Can I say something to you? Grave clothes don't come up by themselves. I wish they do. In fact, grave clothes don't come out by you coming out of the grave. After you get saved and you come out of the grave of sin, you got to take another step. Either you do it yourself or you seek for help from a seasoned deliverance minister to pray for you. But she never did that. Hey, the unthinkable happened. I was in church that day. It was 1981, December 31st. I can never forget this. 1981, December 31st, we were in church praising God. Oh God, oh God, this new year that I'm going to. Don't let me see death. Don't let me see destruction. Guess what? The devil walked into church. I went to where she was. Saved. Speaking in tongues. And the devil said, what about the covenant? What about the covenant? I know you came out of the grave, but I still got my clothes on you. I've never seen anything like this in my life. At exactly 12 midnight, as the pastor said, Happy New Year, I heard on one side, Bossa! She fell down. We thought it was a joke. They carried her to the prayer room. They took her to the prayer room. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. Why? Crying. Oh Lord, oh Lord. December 31st. This is strange. Have you ever seen strange things happen? You think strange things that happen just happen? No. They prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. Nothing happened. The more they prayed, the colder she got. The more they prayed, the colder she got. Die in church. Die while praying against death. And that's what grave clothes would do for you. Guess what happened? One of the brothers there got an inspiration from heaven. And he said, let's go after the ring. Let's send fire against the ring. And everybody looked at him. Fire against what? So that's what I got from God. Fire against the ring. So everybody started praying, oh God, we send fire against the ring. We send fire against the ring. We send fire. Destroy the ring. Destroy. Suddenly she screamed out. She said, yeah, fire. And then she held her ring finger. Say, yeah, yeah, my finger, my finger, my finger. Then she came to her side. Then she raised up her hand and began to praise God. Said, thank God now I'm totally free. 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 Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want you to have partial victory. I want you to have total and complete victory. She started praising God. And we were standing there dumbfounded. What is this? Thank God I'm free. We thought you were free when you came out to give the testimony that God has set you free. Yes, she was from the grave. But now she's free from the grave clothes. Then she said to us, she said, when everybody was praying, she said, emissaries from the gates of hell walked into church. And they passed by everybody. You don't know what happens that you don't see in church. They passed by everybody and they came to me and said, let's go. So the moment they touched me, I fell down. She said, but my life continued. From that point on, I didn't actually die in the real sense of death. She said, when I got to the other side, they welcomed me. And Satan himself was there. And he said, you well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did what we sent you to go and do in the world. It was only that church that messed you up. And the devil said, now we're going to do the wedding. We're going to do the marriage. And she said, the way it is. Now, what I'm saying now, some of you are already confused. What is this man talking about? The way it is in the spirit realm for her was that once the marriage was done, her doom was sealed. She would go to hell. The only way was for that marriage not to take place. So the devil came out. All the ministers came out and said, join hands. She said, I don't belong here. I'm a child of God. I left these people. Why am I here again? You know why you're here? Grave clothes. Grave clothes. She said, just as they took out the ring and were about to slip it into my finger, she said, fire showed up. She said, fire showed up from nowhere. She said, I've never seen a meeting destroyed and dispatched the way that meeting was dispatched. He said, fire, have you ever seen thunderbolt? He said, fire came like thunder. And he said, he hit the ring and broke it into irreparable pieces. He said, then I woke up and here I am in the midst of you, free and free and free. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free indeed, I'm free indeed, I'm free indeed. You know what, the Lord is in this place this afternoon. He has come to touch you. He has come to release you. He has come to set you free. Everybody stand on your feet this morning. Come on, give the Lord a little praise here that he has the power to set free. He has the power to break yokes. He has the power to release. He has the power to remove the things that have us bound and the things that have us. Come on, help me give my God the praise for what he's done and for what he's doing and for what he will yet do this morning. In the Lord, we give you the praise. Lord, we give you the glory. Lord, we give you the honor. Lord, we give you the dominion. Aha. Lord, we give you the majesty. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Jesus. Jesus. I believe the angels are here this morning. The power that sets free and delivers is in this building this morning. Listen, precious hearts. Don't let anyone deceive you by saying you are automatically complete once you are saved. Don't let anyone deceive you by telling you that demonic forces will automatically leave you without a fight before you run off from the resurrected stage. I want you to pause a little and get unwrapped from grave clothes that came as a result of your death in sin. You know what I hear? The one who saved you, the one that saved you, is now calling out. And you know what he's saying? Lose him. Lose her. Lose him. Lose her. Lose them. and let them go. If you're here this morning and you feel you need a second touch, you need God to take you where the wrappings end and unwrap you. I want you to step out of your seat and come right here before me and just fall on your knees before God and tell God, take the wrappings off me right now, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Anyone else, come and pray this morning and tell God, unwrap me this morning. Take away every grave cloth that is upon my life in the name of Jesus. Come on, open your mouth and say, whatever I've got from generations past, whatever my generations passed down to me, whatever grave clothes I got from my daddy, I got from my father, I got from my mother, I got from my great-great-grandfather, Lord, whatever grave clothes are on me, unwrap me right now. Unwrap me right now. Unwrap me right now. Unwrap me right now. Loose me, Jesus. I know I'm saved. I know I have a relationship with you. I know I'm a child of God. I know. Come on. Pray. Say, oh Lord, unwrap me right now. Loose me right now. Remove every covering, every grave cloth. Remove it from me, Lord God. In the name of Jesus. Loose me, Lord. Release me, Lord. Any grave cloth from my father, from my mother, or any grave cloth of any habit, any grave cloth that is upon my life. Oh Lord, loose me now. Release me now. Let me go now. In the name of Jesus. Come on, open your mouth and tell the Lord, remove every grave cloth from my life. Remove every grave cloth from my body. In the mighty name of Jesus. Loose me. Release me. Let me go right now. In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray wherever you are. The angels are here. You know the things that have you bound. You know the things that have you tied. You know the things that restrain your life. You know the things that you do and say, no, I'm a child of God. Why should I like this? Why should I love this? I'm a child of God. Why should I have these dreams? Why should I have these revelations? Oh God. Hey. Lord, take out the grave clothes from me.
From everything that consoled me, from everyone that consoled me, from my life, from my voice, from my hand, from my feet, from my face, in the name of Jesus Christ, I wrap every breath close to me.
Hallelujah. Tell the Lord tonight, the will of God is for me to be loosed. The will of God is for me to be loose. Grave clothes, I am resurrected. I don't need you in my body. I don't need you in my life. Come on, unwrap. Unwrap from my life. In the name of Jesus, unwrap from my life. Oh God, any grave clothes, spiritual grave clothes. Oh God, whatever it is, unwrap me today, God. Make me free. Make me light. Yes, Lord. Make me light in my spirit. Take away my habits. Take away, oh God, all my pains, all my hurts. Oh God, take them away from me right now. Come on, people. Pray. I don't want to be bound. I want to be loosed. I want to be free. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, take away any unexplainable grave clothes. Hey, I'm out of those. Lord, take them out of my life, Lord God. Grave clothes from my mother. Grave clothes from my father. Grave clothes from friends that I came in contact with growing up. Oh Lord, grave clothes of hurts, of wounds, Jesus, of roots of bitterness, Lord, of addiction, indulgence. Lord, take them out of my life in the mighty name of Jesus. Things I do that people don't know. Lord, take them out of me right now. In the name of Jesus, loose me. Loose me. Loose me, loose me, loose me, loose me. Loose me and release me in the name of Jesus. Hey! Release me to release me right now. Release me right now. Come on, Dada Sarah. Please release me right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Set me free, Jesus. Set me free, Jesus. Take away every grave cloth from me. Put on me the cloth of righteousness. In the mighty name of Jesus, whatever has attached itself to me, God, the power that set me free from the grave, let it set me free from my grave clothes. Make me free, Jesus. Loose me and let me go. Loose me and let me go. Loose me and let me go. I need freedom. I need freedom. I need freedom. I need freedom. I want to be able to move and go forward. Go where God wants me to go. Do what God wants me to do. Have what God wants me to have. Grave clothes, you are hindering my life. Yes, Jesus. Come on. The Holy Ghost is here this morning. Loose me from that which has me bound. Release me from that which holds me down. Let me move forward. Let me go forward. Let me go forward. I need free movement in my life. Yay! Receive freedom, complete freedom, total freedom, absolute freedom from grave clothes. See, everything, Jesus, Jesus, wrapped around my life, known or unknown, I reject them, I refuse them. Jesus, loose me now in the name of Jesus Christ. See, I claim complete victory, not partial victory. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me pray for you before you go back to your seats. Father, the reason you send your word is to heal them. That's what the Bible says. And you said you will back up your word with signs and wonders following. That is what I decree for these men and these women on their bended knees. That as from today, signs of deliverance, wonders of liberation shall be their portion in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever has them bound, either because of what they were or who they were before they knew you, or because of things that were done to them in their innocency, I command them to be loosed. Hey, I command them to be released. I command them to be set free in the mighty name of Jesus. Give them a testimony for everything they have cried unto you for this afternoon. Loose them by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and I decree it done in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, everybody said, everybody said, everybody say, I'm free. Say, I am free. Say, I am free from every grave cloth in the name of Jesus. Rise up on your feet and sing this song with Bacardi, whatever. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, glory to God. As you go back to your seats, thank you, Jesus. Come on, just rejoice. Rejoice, come on. Because you are free. Hey. Come on now. Come on, rejoice. The sorrow is gone.
Yes, Lord, 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 yes, Lord your sorrow. And now you got the joy of the Lord. Everybody say, I'm loosed. In the name of Jesus. I am loosed. Shout hallelujah. Before we sing that song one more time, I want to give a chance to those of you who might want to join this church. Let me tell you why. Jesus didn't lose him. He looked at the body that was around and he said, you friends, you neighbors, you brothers and sisters, now you join with him and lose him. That's what this church is for. Alright? That's one of the benefits of being a member of a church like this, where we believe in breaking yokes. We want to join with you in whatever goes on in your life and heed the commandment of God to see you loosed. If there's anyone here this morning, this afternoon now, who's saying, Bishop, I want to be a part of this body, I'd like for you to please come. Please come. Yes. Anybody this morning saying, I want to join this church, I want to be a part of this body. Hallelujah. Please come so we can pray for you. Yes. Anyone this morning? God bless you. 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 What's in this, huh? God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else this one? Said, I want to join this church. I want to be one of the people. I will say, join him, loose him, and let him go.
Member of this church, Jesus' name.
This is her first time here. Can you believe that? Give her a big hand. Amen.
I'm so glad to be here today. And it was my wife that brought me. She was here before me, but she put a rock into this church today. And I'm glad that I'm here today.
Amen. Thank you. Here we are. Give him a big hand. My God. You're the wife that pulled him in.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When we were coming to church today, I said to God, please do something in my husband's life. Prove to him that you are a living God.
Yes.
And I thank God, because I wasn't going to come out, but he said, let's go.
Let's go.
Thank you.
Glory to God.
And I just want to take time out and tell you to